This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning to you. I should go to my Terry Thomas accent now. Oh, what a delightful wedding it was.
Oh, top of the morning, yes, and all that important stuff, yes.
Well, Charlie, you did get to see some of the wedding.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you
didn't? I didn't get up in time. I was running around a little behind
schedule. No, I
just
said hi to Marilyn as we were leaving the studio. She said, oh, I saw the whole thing.
Well, you guys are amazing. You just probably went to bed at 9 o'clock last night and were up at 3 in the morning, all geared up and ready to go with your mug of tea.
Shirley's exercise girls had a little bit of an English morning there to watch the proceedings. Mm. And so I had to drive Shirley over there by 6:30 to watch the nuptials.
Was she all dressed?
Did she? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. No, she
had. Surely.
And Sue Woodcock, the friend who threw this bash, had fascinators for all the ladies here.
Lovely.
They're only, I think, 4 or 5 there. But it was fun. It was fun. And I watched most of the service, and then I had to leave for work.
Really? And did you enjoy it?
I did. I thought it was absolutely beautiful.
No,
and she's just lovely.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. And he looked every bit the prince.
And
yeah.
Did Charles walk?
Yes,
Meghan.
Yes, very sedately down the aisle, halfway down. No, it was really well done.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Well, considering they had lots of time to practice
right?
They did that.
Yeah, you betcha. But it was cute. The cutest part was watching the kids.
There's a lot of kids.
Two of the young kids holding the train. And the darn thing was about 20 feet long.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but you know what? They did a good job.
I hope that she can do something with that to dance. Really.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. Anywho, we've got lots going on the show today, that's
right.
For sure.
So I'll let you do the phone numbers.
She'll do the phone
just
numbers.
Just to make sure people can call us
if
they'd like to ask a question.
Exactly. All right. You don't have to use an English accent at all. It's 416-360-0740. That's in the Toronto area. Anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Can I quickly say hi to a couple of ladies? We might address this, actually, when we come back.
No, go ahead.
Okay. To Beatrice and Bertha Samus, who have a farm up there in the Cannington area. They sent a question to you, and they don't have a computer, so it's a long written letter here about how a person gets rid of the barberry bushes.
It's not barberry.
It's not hawthorn?
No, it's neither of those things. It's buckthorn.
Oh.
Buckthorn, B-U-C-K thorn, one word.
Okay.
It is a highly invasive plant.
Mm-hmm.
It does take over. It'll grow in the sun. It'll grow in the shade. It'll grow wet. It's like wet, dry. It's not picky, and it'll grow anywhere. And yes, indeed, it's got long thorns, and it's spread mostly by birds who eat the fruit, because it does get little fruit, and then they drop seeds all over. So I just wondering, I'm looking at this, like, you know what they need, because they don't have a computer. Here's inquiries. You know what you need to do is write to the Ontario Invasive Plant Council.
Ah, okay.
So that is P.O. Box 2800-2800 in Peterborough, Ontario. K as in kite, N, J as in John, 8, L as in Lorna, 5. That's the postal code.
Right.
So what you would do is you'd write to them, ask them to send you a copy of there's a whole series of books on invasive plants. So what these people need to really get a handle on how to control this really problematic plant is it's a best management practices series. So the best management practices in Ontario book on buckthorn.
Okay.
And I'm sure they will send them a copy of it, and then they're good to go with all kinds of good information.
Buckthorn. Okay, buckthorn. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, they said they, I mean, even with the leather gloves, these thorns come right through.
That's
they're,
horrible.
Sounds like a wicked problem to face, but anyway.
Well, it's a wicked plant, and a lot of times people don't recognize what it, I can't tell you how many gardens I've been in where people have left that plant to grow as a tree or a shrub and think that it's somehow a nice plant. It's like, no, this is not a good plant. You do not want
it's
this plant
nasty
on your property. Mm-hmm. All right.
All righty. Announcements. You've got a whack of them there, I'm sure.
I've got a few. Tomorrow, the Greater Toronto Rose Society is meeting at Armour Heights Community Centre, 2140 Avenue Road at Wilson Avenue, just off the 401. Presentation is New Plants with Plantswoman Marion Jarvie. This is a friendly group of people, and they always have great goodies. I think that was nice they included that. They must have been thinking about you, Frank. Now, coming up next week, actually, a couple of weekends from now, the Harrison and District Hort Society presents the 17th Annual Garden Festival. That's Saturday, June 2nd, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Harrison Community Center. Now, that it's in the community center, and they're in the pavilion area. It's quite a big event. Admission is free. After the firefighters' pancake breakfast, which is also, it's a very big garden festival. It's the biggest one in the area. Mm-hmm. And showcases local growers, garden-inspired artisans, and new plant introductions. So lots to see and do. There's children's activities. So, you know, if you're in that area, definitely check that out. Now, if you're in southwest Ontario, in the London area or Strathroy, mm-hmm. same weekend, June 2nd and 3rd, there's a big open garden and plant sale at the Cuddy Gardens in Strathroy. So those gardens are owned by Fanshawe College. Fanshawe has a very large horticultural program. So the student, part of the student's practical work is maintaining these gardens. So it's lovely. They're lovely gardens. Mm-hmm. I've been there before. They feature one of the largest collection of plants in Ontario. Over 2,000 species are displayed in dry, rock, woodland, perennial, rose, and aquatic gardens. There's a lot of different gardens, themed gardens. Very beautiful. Garden two. So for this weekend, second and third, garden tours, lots of food, either bring your own lunch or buy something on the property. Again, children's activities, Saturday 10 to 4, Sunday 11 to 4. Actual address is 28443 Center Road in Strathroy, or check the web at Fanshawe Open Garden.
Okay, and a little bit later I'll just go into one more little shout-out we've got to give to Philip and Kathy Theodoro in Markham, who very kindly
donated.
Gave us some of that plant that we've been talking about
that
last
geranium.
Couple of weeks. Yes, and so we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I've got a whole whack of folks waiting on the line to talk to you, Charlie, here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, and we'll be back with those folks in just a couple of moments.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, Charlie, let's get right to the lines here from maybe just around the corner here in Toronto. It's Trish on the line. Good morning, Trish. Hello, Trish.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Charlie. Before I get to my question, can I ask why you're not on the radio in the mornings anymore?
I beg your pardon?
Which mornings? You mean?
Every morning. I used to be on at 10:30.
Oh, I think, is it on 11:30 maybe?
I don't know.
You know what? I don't know either. So I can check into that and let you know. I'll find out when that airs. The little tips you're talking about.
Yes.
1 minute tips, yeah. I'll check. You know what? Changes in programming do happen. Nobody asks my permission. So I will send an email to the program director
saying,
and just
ask what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you, Trish.
The thing that you spray the fruit trees, is it dormant spray?
Yes, when they're dormant, but they're not dormant anymore.
No, mine have got leaves on.
Yeah. So the dormant spray comes in a kit. It's usually two bottles. One bottle is an oil, a light horticultural oil. The other bottle is lime sulfur. Following the directions early in the spring when the plants are still dormant, meaning no leaves, no flowers, just maybe buds, but dormant. Following the instructions, we mix the liquids together with some water and spray the dormant trees, any of the fruit trees, roses, crab apples, any of our woody plants that are very susceptible to insects and diseases. And it's an excellent way to prevent problems in the upcoming season.
So is it too late now?
It is too late to use the dormant spray as a dormant spray. But if you own that kit, do you have that stuff on?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. I wouldn't go out and buy it now. There is a summer, you can use that. You know what, if you're in a garden center, read the instructions. There are suggestions on how to use those individual components in the summer, but we do not use them in the summer the way we use them in the spring. So they're separated out and not mixed together. The oil is typically just put on hold until the plants are dormant again, so you could use it in the fall. But the lime sulfur can be used for it. There's summer information on the package.
All right, thanks very much.
Okay, thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Trish, for joining us here on a Saturday morning. And just so we don't get too far afield, I'll have to get into our break rather quickly here and then come back and say hi to Julie in Etobicoke. So we shall, of course, continue here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And on a bit of a rainy Saturday morning, we bid welcome to Julie calling in from Etobicoke. Hi, Julie. Hi, Julie. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, is there anything that I could plant as a ground cover around the roses and raspberries so that I don't have to weed? I used to have, I used to plant wild strawberries, yeah. But they just don't work. And I have periwinkle in the front, but they're choking up like the roses.
Well, so that's the thing. Yeah, that's a bit of a challenge. A plant that's going to act, that's going to do well as a ground cover and, you know, be thick and lush and control the weeds, mm-hmm. is going to be so vigorous that it can cause problems and choke out the main plant. I always remember I fell in love with this clematis one year, and it was going to be one of those clematis that can be used as a ground cover. And I thought, this is going to be great. I'll plant this at the base of my roses. So I'll have the roses flowering above and the clematis blooming below, and it's going to be gorgeous. So I planted the clematis, and guess what it did? It climbed up over top of the roses and ran right down the roses and just completely enveloped them.
Yeah, I know. I experienced that too.
Yeah, so I pulled out the clematis and gave up on that idea. But what I do use now is an annual flower called alyssum.
Alyssum.
Yeah, so alyssum is something that little white flowers, very good pollinator friendly plant. I have the sort of old variety of alyssum that seeds itself, so I don't have to replant it every year.
Mm-hmm.
So it just comes up every year. I actually have to pull a lot out, but it's an excellent ground cover under roses. It's white, so it reflects the sun away, and no weeds ever can come up through it.
And it reseeds itself.
It does. But the alyssum you're going to buy in the store today, generally speaking, they're all hybrids that will not seed themselves. So just see if you can. Where are you? You're in Etobicoke. If you're out shopping and you're looking for alyssum, alyssum does tend to be a fairly popular plant, but just read the tags that on the alyssum you see out there. Just try and get, you want the non-hybridized version. So you just want plain old simple alyssum, and then that will do what mine does. It'll just seed itself.
Can you just ask, mint will not work?
It will, but it's like so many things. It'll just choke everything out.
It will choke out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then. Thank you very much.
All right,
worst comes to worst,
yep.
Use mulch, right? And it's a very good idea to get something under your roses because you do want to protect you don't want that mud splashing up when it's raining because that's how diseases get spread. All right.
Yeah, but if you mulch, you still have to weed because...
Well, put it thick enough, 2 to 4 inches deep. It'll control.
2 to 4 inches.
Yeah, 2 to 4.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Julie.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
I got so carried away with some of our stuff this morning, I forgot part of my little duties to remind everybody that if you are a first-time caller, let our operator, who this morning is Josh, let Josh know. And when you get to the air, you're going to hear the welcoming sound of the bell, which means you've got your garden wings.
That's right.
And call early, call often. One question per call. Okay?
Right.
There we are. My job is done.
Yeah, well, almost. You can go sit in the corner and watch videos of people kissing and stuff.
Oh, goody. Okay. Let's get out to Woodstock. There's Tom. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you, Frank and Charlie?
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I have a jade plant, which I was told came from California. It's 13 to 14 inches high, and but only has one side branch on it. How do I get that thing to get bushy?
So it's one single stem with one side branch?
Right.
So it's all kind of lopsided. And it's that
tall. Yeah, and it's getting tall and straggly.
So, you know, jade, it's an excellent plant, like so many other plants that very much benefit from a little bit of pinching on occasion. So taking your scissors out, maybe chop it right down to half size. By cutting this plant, taking either, you know, back when it was 5 or 6 inches, you could have just taken the tips, and that would have forced some side branching. But now that you're up to 13, 14, I'd probably chop it down to about 7 inches tall. And from that point, where all the, you have a single stem, you have those leaves sticking off the stem, buds that you can't see are buried right at those, where the leaves are attached to the stem, and those little buds will break and start to grow, and before you know it, you'll have a much nicer looking plant.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, I would take it down a bit. I wouldn't just take the top off now. I'd go down a few inches and and stay on it. Give it 6 months and then take off the tips. So make it a nice bushy, good looking plant.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Nice of you to join us here on a Saturday morning. Brighten up our day in an otherwise kind of a cloudy one. Hey,
it's
look at that.
It's going to stop raining, though.
Hmm?
It is going to stop raining.
Yes.
And then it's going to start raining again. And then it's going to be very nice on Sunday, Monday.
And, Monday in particular.
And our gardens needed rain. So this is a good thing.
Oh, good thing.
You know what? They're just totally out there. The gardens are smiling right now with this rain.
That's terrific.
Everything's green and lush. And it's getting all washed off. It's all good.
I'm smiling because Donna is calling in from Holland Landing. And she is a first-time caller.
Nice.
There you are. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Charlie and Frank.
Hi, good morning.
I just returned from 2 weeks ago. I took the Via Rail across Canada.
Ooh, lucky you.
And there was a very violent yellow spike coming up, mostly through the snow in the wet ditches. Have you any idea what it was?
I thought originally
it was spikes or something, but no, it was a plant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a picture of it, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, so you know what? Send me a picture because I can't even think.
I will.
At this time. So a yellow, it's obviously a flower.
Yeah, what's the yellow flower?
There was no green on it at all.
And
it's
coming
just
up.
A yellow spike coming up in the ground.
Wow.
And everything else was dead and wet and dry and...
Here's this thing existing in very well.
Yeah, well, So you know what? Can you have a picture? Can you email me that, or do you want to mail that?
I can email it to you.
Oh, perfect. So let's make sure you've got my email address.
Okay,
that's what I need.
All right. I'll give it to you right now. If you got a paper and pencil,
I have.
Good. Okay, it's C.Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, mzmedia.com. Okay.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you, Donna.
I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, that's a strange little, I guess. Wild plants grow everywhere, I guess, don't they?
Hey, speaking of wild plants, we've had the ongoing mystery with the mystery plant, right? And you have got down to the crux of the whole situation and brought in pots of the plant.
Well, yeah. I'm telling you, Philip and Kathy Theodoro out there in Markham, they were so accommodating last week when after the show I dropped out to their place. And they gave me a tour of the property. It was lovely.
Really, eh?
And, boy, they were both working away in the garden saved me two pots of these. And I don't know what
it is, a geranium, I can tell. Well, it all started a couple of weeks ago when Anne phoned from outside Buffalo.
Yeah.
And she said, I've got this mystery plant. It looks like a geranium. It grows like stink. It prefers the shade, flowers in the spring, evergreen leaves where she lives, and she just wasn't sure what it was.
Yep.
So then Philip followed up that same week and said, I know what the plant is. I've got it.
Yeah,
and
he said it was came over from the old country.
I'm sure it did.
And Myrtle Creek, what he said he thought it was, Kathy showed me that in the book, but you want to check that out anyway.
The actual genus is geranium for sure. It is a perennial geranium, but you're right, I can get a little more information on that.
Yeah.
But so thank you very much to Philip and his wife for calling and offering, and thanks to you for getting right down to it.
Hey, it was great fun.
Yeah.
Great fun. Well, now, we have Jeff in St. Catharines patiently waiting on the line there. Hi, Jeff. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Frank? How are you? And
good.
Charlie, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
I'm a first-time caller, by the way.
Well, now, all righty.
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go.
Welcome. Oh, you've got wings.
You've made my day.
Great stuff.
Charlie, I've exhausted all my avenues here, and you are undoubtedly the grand poobah, and I'm hoping I can get an answer from you.
I'm going to quote you on that, the grand poobah part.
I am having, and have had all last year, a running battle with, I swear, a demon squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
And on my back deck in my planter boxes, for the first year I put flowers. Well, I'm terrible at planting, so I hired somebody to, you know,
make
it pretty. Very, very nice arranging on my back deck. And literally throughout the year, this demon squirrel, I don't know, it's got it in for me or something, just ruined area. Like it was something right out of Caddyshack.
Wow.
And I tried everything. I tried poisoning it. I tried forks. I tried knives. I tried like peppers. And I just couldn't do anything, Charlie. So
sorry, I'm laughing.
Short of pointing a rifle at it out of my kitchen window, I'm asking you, please, please, I don't want to have to put full flowers out there anymore.
No, I hear you. So is it one squirrel, or is it a gang of squirrels? Is it? You think it's one squirrel?
It's one squirrel. I know him. We're almost on a first name basis.
I bet. You know, I always think of what I read this years ago in the White House. They every fall plant tens of thousands of bulbs to come up the following spring. And they every year plant an extra 10% for the
just
squirrels.
Just for the squirrels, yeah.
So rather than fight the squirrels, they just feed the squirrels. So I got an email from somebody last night. Same thing was, squirrels wreaking havoc in the garden. I was like, what about maybe setting up a little away from the planters, like far away as you can get, a little bowl of peanuts for the squirrel. I'm sort of as a truce, like as an offering to the squirrel, maybe the squirrel will go for the peanuts instead of the containers. Just a suggestion. If you've tried the forks, because the forks should work, but like you said, it didn't work. And knives is a good idea too.
He just dug around them and went to town. And when that wasn't enough, he chewed. I had some lights out there. He even chewed through the wires on that.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
this guy's determined.
Sound a bit demonic, doesn't he? Have you tried any of the repellent sprays? Because there is a spray called Plant Skid. So it's the one word plant and then S K Y D as in dog, D as in dog again. So Plant Skid. It is a repellent. It is completely organic. It's available in any sort of good garden center. You should be able to find it without too much trouble. And it was at first invented in, I think it was Finland or Norway, and it was all about elk. The elk were causing all kinds of problems, eating everything. And it turns out that this repels so many things that are rabbits and deer and voles, chipmunks, squirrels, opossums, you know, moose. This is like a seriously effective repellent. And you spray it once, and it should be effective for up to 6 months.
Wow.
Okay. There were a few repellents that I did try, and obviously they didn't work. But this is called Plant Skid, did you say?
Yeah, and you can get it on the web, or you can get it at a garden center. So Plant S-K-Y-D-D, Plant Skid Repellent.
Let us know how you come along with that, Jeff, if that works for you.
Yeah.
This guy sounds like he needs to be controlled in a very serious manner, huh?
Yeah, and it's not poisonous to anything else. And it's, like I say, completely organic and long-lasting. Doesn't wash off in the rain, which is great, too. Remember Sean, when you were in Florida, Sean was here. He had some other repellent. I'll find it. It's buried in my book here. It was all about egg and this and that, and you mix it all up, and it was supposed to be pretty effective as well.
Okay.
So I'll see if I can find that.
Give that a try, Jeff. And
turn into a him or me situation. And, this is like a high noon on my deck.
I can just see it now.
Well, I hope it's not the squirrel that phones us back, okay?
The holsters.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And, I appreciate you calling her the grand poobah. I think that gives me ammunition for weeks now.
Well, she certainly is, and I thank you so much, both of you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. All the best. Oh, we get the best callers here on Zoomer Radio, I'm telling you. Now, I don't know. Do you know where Glen Arm is? Our next caller, Dave, is from Glen Arm, but maybe he'll tell us, and he is a first-time caller as well.
Ah,
hey,
nice.
There you go, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning, and where's Glen Arm anyway?
Hey, we're one-third of the way from Fenland Falls to Beaverton.
Oh, nice. Hey, that's nice. A nice part of the world.
Yeah, sure is.
It is.
I bet.
It really is.
Pretty today.
What I'm calling about is Autumn Blaze Maple.
Uh-huh.
The leaf, I bought them from a nursery.
Uh-huh.
And the first leaves that come out every spring have little red bumps on them that turn black. And I've inquired through the nursery that, and I've been told that they are mites.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to control them is to spray the base of the tree in the early spring with malathion.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to do that. You can't. It's against the law.
That's why I was wondering if there's some other way of controlling it.
But, okay, so the first leaves come out like that, but do the subsequent leaves do the same thing?
No, not all of them. It's usually the first leaf. Sometimes it'll be the second leaf.
Okay, so the reason I'm asking is because, see, I'm just bringing it up on the computer.
Oh, yes.
That's
okay.
What he's talking about. They're called bladder gall mites. So it's kind of interesting, actually, the way they work. So the little insect is on the plant, and it starts to chew into the tissue of the leaves, and the plant responds, and this happens to maples all the time, by growing around the insect. So that's what the bump is. The bump is the maple growing over and around the insect. The insect is down inside that bump. That's it. Like, it doesn't do any further damage. Now, other than to look a little unsightly, there's no further damage. It will not kill the tree. It's, you know, and if it's just the first couple of leaves as well, and the rest of the leaves, the rest of the season are all perfectly green, yeah, I wouldn't be overly concerned about it.
So the bug and the tree have kind of called a truce.
They have worked out a bit of a relationship. And and so the bug gets what it wants, and the tree gets what it wants, and nobody dies in the process. And the thing about malathion is malathion now illegal, but when it was available, that is a contact killer. So that is an insecticide that must contact the insect in order to work.
Mm.
And so soap is the same thing, right? We use the soapy solutions now. Again,
exactly.
Contact killer. Typically, with an insect that's inside an inside tissue of a plant, we look for an insecticide that's systemic. So something that is absorbed by the plant and then makes the plant toxic or poisonous to insects that are chewing on the inside, which was what Saigon was all about. Yep. Remember, we used Saigon on birch trees to protect from the bronze birch borers because they bore down inside. So that would be more if you were using an illegal chemical, that would be one that I would recommend before malathion would be Saigon, because that would be more effective in terms of actually getting inside the tissue. But I'll look it up and see if there's any kind of thing you can do as a prevention. It might be that something as simple as a dormant spray early in the spring when the plants are still
might
actually be the best thing to do.
Okay.
All right. Hey. I'll see what I can find out, and I will report back, I promise.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dave, for calling in from Glen Arm. We'll try and remember that location.
That's I love that name.
Gorgeous part of the province, that is for sure. And, you know, a little bit later on this morning after the show, you and I are going to try going to High Park.
Which we haven't been to for a number of weeks.
The cherry blossoms have just said, you know, too busy.
Yeah.
Keep away.
If we could walk there, we would go, but it's just too far to walk, and you cannot drive anywhere near High Park when the cherries are blooming.
So I think we're going to be safe today, but we're going to actually take a trip to High Park in just moments and talk to Gene, who's on the line, and we'll be to you in a moment here, Gene, after these words.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's take that little trip to High Park in advance of our actual trip. There's Gene. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to ask you about red bugs.
Yep.
I have plenty on my garden, little garden.
Uh-huh.
I live close to High Park, very close, and they eat my flower. So what I should do it? like Colorado beetles.
Yeah, they're not Colorado. Yeah. You know what they're called? They're bright red on their back, and if you flip them over, they're black on their tummies.
Yeah.
And it's called a lily leaf beetle.
So
it is a beetle, you're right.
Well, I should get it, something solution for that.
There's no spray that will kill them. The only thing that will kill them is you squishing them.
Uh-huh.
And that's...
what I'm doing every morning.
Yeah, I know.
It's terrible.
That's the problem. Once you have one, you have 100. And they do prefer certain plants. So what they'll eat is they will eat any lilies, not day lilies, but regular lilies. They will eat,
Never mind. They eat my herbs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of herbs have you got?
Well, I have... what's it called? Oh, I forget. I am old woman. I have lots of herbs.
I'm surprised they eat them. Because they'll definitely.
I'm very upset.
They'll eat lily of the valley. Yeah. They'll eat fritillaria. That's what they usually eat in my garden, which is a little bulb that comes up in the spring. They wipe those out. They'll eat leaves, flowers, buds. They're not picky. But they're pretty specific. I'm surprised they're eating your herbs.
Yeah.
There is no spray. It's all about squishing.
But I am afraid to spray my herbs.
Right. I mean, you can spray, but the insects won't die. So that's the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Beetles are hard to kill.
Yeah.
There's no easy way to deal with those.
Manually. Oh, just pick them off.
Yeah. Pick and squish. Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm surprised, though, that they're eating herbs. And I mean, the only other thing would be to consider now, it's too late now. The herbs are in pots or in the ground?
No, on the ground.
Okay.
On the ground.
Because they're...
On the ground, growing. I just plant them.
Right. There is something called a floating row cover. So it's like cheesecloth. And so you could consider next year, too late now, but next year, as you're planting your herbs, at best would be to put them in a pot, because then you would know that the beetles aren't in the soil. And then you would put this sort of cheesecloth,
a netting
over top of the plants, and then the bugs wouldn't be able to chew them. And that would be like a way to protect the plants. Otherwise, I don't know how you can get rid of those insects. They are a real problem. I agree.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jean. Charlie wishes you had better news for you there, but you just got to kind of deal with it manually.
It's like, I'm surprised they're eating the herbs.
Yeah. Mike in Kitchener on the line. Good morning, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Whoop, have we lost him?
I think so. I heard a click. Mike, are you there? Good morning. Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there
okay,
you are.
There you go.
I have a question regarding my tomato plants.
Yeah.
Last year I put them in, and they were great up until they were just about ripe.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was a blight on them, and it affected the foliage and the tomato itself. My question to you is, if I put them back in that same spot this year, am I going to have the same problem?
You might. There are three kinds of blight that affect tomatoes: early, mid, and late blight. The late blight and the mid blight, particularly the late blight, just wipes out the plants. Like, it's just, you go from a good looking plant to yellow, speckled, bad tasting fruit almost overnight.
And that's what it did last year.
Yeah, which is likely what you had. But keep in mind that a lot of these are fungal diseases. And so the way it works with disease in general is you have to have the right environmental conditions in order for the fungal spores to not only germinate, but to really grow in a big way. And of course, last year we had super optimal conditions for all fungal diseases, because it rained and it rained and it rained. And so we saw just a phenomenal level of fungal disease throughout the gardens, whether it was, you know, powdery mildew, downy mildews, blights, and all kinds of different spots, like leaf spots and black spots and things that were fungal in nature. So two things I would recommend. If you can, definitely rotate the crop. So don't put tomatoes there. Don't put any members of the tomato family into that area. Make sure you're giving sufficient space between your tomatoes, so you've got good air circulation, good sun penetration, and that definitely helps keep the fungal spores not thriving, when we've got good air, good light into the plants and good spacing between them, and pray that we don't get a ton of rain day after day after day, which I don't think we will this year like we did last year.
Well, those spores could be still dormant in the ground there.
Yes, they're around. They're always going to be around. It's just going to be the conditions are right for those spores to really take off.
Okay.
So, rotating is always a good idea in terms of the quality of the crop. So if you can, I would recommend that as well.
It's kind of a weird spot. I have a hard time doing this one.
I know.
Small spot.
I was going to say, it's hard. It's none of us have enough acreage to really, really rotate like we'd like to. But if you can, or even consider tomatoes in containers for a year, just give that soil a rest and, you know, get a couple of big, depending on how many tomatoes you grow. But a couple of big containers can make a difference too.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Super, Mike. Thank you for joining us here on a Saturday morning as we broadcast live and direct, of course, from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. Now, my arm has been getting a real workout.
That's good.
With
we
my
like
bell.
That.
So I'm going to come back and continue the ringing of the bell for Carolyn in Cobequonk in just a moment here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, just before we check in with Carolyn and Cobequonk, you have a little recipe that might help.
We're finding solutions to problems today. So remember Dave called in from Glenorm, and he was talking about those funny red spots on his maple leaves, which are the bladder gall mites.
Mm-hmm.
Quick look here, and what I've come up with, as I said, they don't hurt the tree. They're a little unsightly. Now, two things you can do. You can remove the leaves that have the galls and destroy those leaves, thus killing the insects that are in the galls for purposes of lowering the population next year. Another suggestion was dormant spray. So again, it'd be a next spring, early in the season, before the leaves are out on the trees, get a hold of a dormant spray kit. That's that lime sulfur and oil. Mix as per directions and give that maple a good thorough spraying early in the spring, and you might be able to lower the population that way as well.
Okay. All righty. Here he goes, little Franklin with the... the bell goes. That's for Carolyn in Cobequonk. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
I want to say hi to Glenorm because we're quite nearby.
Oh, yes,
excellent.
Indeed you are.
You are.
We're all both near Balsam Lake. I'm calling because the gentleman that called in about the problem with the squirrel.
Jeff.
Yeah, well, many years ago, my mother, who's now deceased, had a problem with both squirrels and raccoons. And she ordered from the now defunct Sears catalog this little you plug it in and it makes a very low grade noise that humans can't hear, but the animals can hear it and it scares them away.
And that worked, huh?
Now, I was just looking through the Home Hardware catalog, and rodents, they have a little rat zapper there. And that would cover squirrels, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Rat zapper,
idea.
Jeff,
wow.
If you're listening, might want to try that.
And I'm thinking it's a low grade. You don't hear it.
We don't hear it exactly.
But it was so effective. It was amazing.
So did you actually see like a raccoon or somebody would come wandering into the yard and then go, whoa, and then go the other direction?
No, I didn't see that, but they just stopped coming after a couple of weeks.
That's cool.
Yeah, so this is an outdoor thing. So you've got to make sure that it's out. It's you're capable of being outside.
Under her front deck.
Good idea.
And she plugged it in, and she had no more issues with raccoons or squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you can't get the same thing.
No.
But I just happened a couple of days ago to notice this and thought, well, that's cool to know. They're still selling that.
Yeah.
But I wondered if that might assist him in some way.
Thank you for the suggestion. And you're right. They do. I have heard of that as a suggestion, and it's certainly worth Jeff following up on. So I hope
he'll
call us back.
them a lot less than, you know, all these other things.
Yeah.
And I just thought, we were friends with the raccoons and squirrels up there, too. So.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks
that's
for
always
your suggestion.
Neat to get these steps.
Yeah.
You bet.
Good.
As a matter of fact, I got to thank Trish Warren, one of the ladies who watched the wedding this morning with Shirley, passed along a really neat little trick of getting a paper bag, tie it at the top, and hang it somewhere. And the bees think it's a wasp nest,
right,
and they avoid the area. So if you're having problems with bees, give that a try.
A paper bag hanging, yeah, so
yeah,
under the eave or somewhere.
That's
out
right
of the weather.
And just hang it there. And
well, you can buy fake hornet's nests.
Oh,
like that is
really
sold to look like
there
a hornet's
you go
nest. And it's actually, I don't think it's to try and keep the bees away. I think the idea is that hornets assume that that's a hornet.
Oh, so they
or
stay
wasps
away.
They stay away because they're going, oh, that's somebody else's territory.
Yeah.
So
very
they don't
good.
So it is a good way to, and yeah, it does actually work.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we can quickly get
the
last call. I think so.
One
I think
minute.
So. Carla in Kitchener. Good morning.
Orangeville.
Welcome to the show.
Orangeville.
What? Oh.
Orangeville.
Oh my goodness. Orangeville. I had you in Kitchener for a second.
We have you moving, sorry. Hi, Carla.
Good morning. I'm not in Kitchener, I'm in Orangeville.
Yeah.
Good morning to the two of you. I have a question about rhodos.
Mm-hmm.
My rhodos are not happy. The bush looks scraggly,
yep,
and they do not bloom prolific.
No.
So what do I do to make them happy?
Move to British Columbia.
not
just
I'm
Kitchener.
You
got to go
so
further.
That when swallowing
so
coffee.
I know about sandy soil and good drainage, and I'm talking about zone 4. So,
okay, so what? Okay, so here's quickly what I would suggest. See, the problem in Ontario is that our soils are limestone based.
Yes.
Rhododendrons love a very low pH. They love an acid, peat based soil. So
thank
peat
you
moss based.
Mm-hmm.
So when you plant rhododendrons, you need to incorporate peat moss, pine needles, anything you can do to make it. No, it does need good drainage, but they also need very consistent moisture, and they love that low pH.
Okay.
There are some roto choices that are a little hardier than others. For the zone 4 gardener like yourself, I would go for the PJM roto. So the letters P as in Paul, J as in John, M as in Mary. There's a whole series in the PJM series. They're very hardy. They're very dependable. But if you've already got them in the ground or you're going to plant, make sure you're incorporating lots of peat moss. Once they're in the ground every single year in the spring, fertilize with a rhododendron food, plus add soil acidifier every single spring. That's a sulfur that you're going to add to your soil as per directions to try and keep that pH down where the rhododendron will be happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the pH will be like a 4.5, 5 or something.
Exactly.
Like that?
You need it down at least down to a 6 if you can, and a 5.8 would be brilliant. Okay.
Thank you, Carla. We got you in just under the wire there.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Oh my
and
golly.
There's a mere seconds left.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Joshua. Very good job. And thank you, Frank. Couldn't ever do it without you. And thanks to all our great callers. We got questions. We got
I love
solutions.
That Jeff's grand poobah line.
I know.
I'm going to be using that for a while.
I'm going to get that. I'm going to put that on my
exactly
phone or something. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.